This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. 10 years ago today, the Boston Globe published the first piece in a series of reports on a shocking pattern of sexual abuse within the Catholic Church. That first story revealed how then Boston Cardinal Bernard Law repeatedly transferred the Reverend John Gagan from parish to parish, despite numerous reports of sexual abuse by Gagan. 3 days later, Cardinal Law made this statement.
It was not then, nor is it my intent now, to protect a priest accused of misconduct against minors. Judgments were made regarding the assignment of John Gagan, which, in retrospect, were tragically incorrect.
As the clergy sex abuse crisis exploded, it revealed that Gagan's case was one of many and that the Boston Archdiocese knew it. By the end of the year, Cardinal Law resigned, and as thousands of victims all over the world came forward with allegations of sexual abuse by priests, the modern Catholic Church was confronted by its greatest crisis to date.
Here to mark that sad anniversary is Boston Globe columnist James Carroll. He's a former priest. He's also written about the crisis with singular passion and clarity. And James Carroll, it's great to have you back on Radio Boston. Thank you.
Thank you, Anthony.
As we know, after the crisis exploded, the Pope tapped Sean O'Malley to lead the Boston Archdiocese. And this week, Cardinal O'Malley published a letter that said, quote, the church must accept responsibility for its failings, that it should have responded more quickly, more forcefully to the crisis. And he told the Boston Globe that over its history, the church has been in need of reform, change, and repentance, and that this is one of those moments. Do words like that tell you that Sean O'Malley gets it?
Cardinal O'Malley is a man of quite special integrity. It's very clear to everyone. And when he says reform and change, he's dead on right. This crisis shows that the Catholic Church has to reform and change. Where I have some distance from Cardinal O'Malley is what the meaning of those words imply. Reform and change suggest a major reordering of the way in which the Catholic Church, especially the clerical culture, is structured and organized. This is, at bottom, not a scandal about sexuality or sex. It's a scandal about power. Remember the basic fact, even with all the horror individual stories, we're talking about a relatively a small minority of priests who have abused children. In many cases, you have to say rape them and then raped others. The shocking scandal for the structure of the church itself is that while a small minority of priests did that, almost 100% of the bishops in charge of those priests protected the priests instead of the children.
And yet, with the exception of Cardinal Law, none of them has lost his job. I guess that argues that as an institution...
Well, that goes to the point.
Yeah.
The way in which bishops are held to account, the transparency in the church, the way in which control of everything in the church from communications to finances to the disposition of property to the personnel of people who work in the church, the great church institutions of education, all of that is at the mercy of what you could call a pyramid of power. And the reason bishops protected the priests was not because they were indifferent, callously indifferent to the fate of children. They protected the priests because the priests occupied positions on that pyramid and the children didn't. And what they were really protecting was the pyramid. At the top of the pyramid is the Pope. Just below the Pope are the cardinals. Just below the cardinals are the bishops. Just below the bishops are the priests, sisters, other employees of the church. This is not in any way an organization that shares power. It's an up-down, over-under authority structure. And that's the core problem. And that's why it makes sense from their narrow point of view for the bishops to protect people who are on this pyramid with them.
So does that mean if that core problem isn't addressed that the church is at risk of sort of descending into another scandal, another crisis like the clergy sex abuse scandal?
If it's not the sex abuse scandal, it's something else. A structure like this is by definition, corrupting. Cardinal O'Malley calls for reform and change. The change and reform I'm talking about is not radical. It's the reform and change that the bishops themselves initiated 50 years ago next fall at the Second Vatican Council, which was a call to flatten out that pyramid. The church stopped defining itself as a power structure and defined itself as a people. We all know that in these 50 years, church authorities have fought back against the impulse of those bishops. And let me just note that those bishops in 1963 were responding to a major church failure of their own, which was the Holocaust. They understood very well, if only implicitly, that the Christian world entire had made a major moral mistake during the years of the Third Reich. And it was an attempt to reckon with that tragic mistake, that lethal mistake that made the church and Christians generally complicitous in the Holocaust, that generated the Second Vatican Council. The issues here are basic questions that the Western world confronted 300 years ago. How do people exercise power over their own lives? How do Catholic people take responsibility for their sex lives? How do children growing up get initiated into real responsible relationships to their religious faith? The tragedy of the Catholic Church over the last 40 years, I would say, is that the ingenious, brave initial attempt at what Cardinal O'Malley properly calls reform and change has been rolled back. So here's a challenge for Cardinal O'Malley. Let's get serious about reforming this institution. Let's listen to the ways in which those who have survived abuse, those who have been severely wounded by it, want a redress for their experience. Let's seriously put the fate of children ahead of the fate of people you happen to share power with. Let's reform the entire clerical culture. Let's put parishes in the hands of the lay people who worship at them, etc.
Well, let me quote O'Malley one more time, Cardinal O'Malley one more time. We have learned much over the past 10 years and made sweeping and significant changes in the church. He sold off church property in Boston. He used the money, about $100 million, to settle sex abuse claims. Millions more dollars on therapy to help victims, install child protection training programs. But it seems like what you're talking about goes way beyond just immediate redress of grievances.
Yes, and clearly the church isn't finished with the priest sexual abuse scandal.
It
was only this past year that the vicar for priests in Philadelphia was indicted by a grand jury precisely for protecting abusers. This isn't finished. I mean, every few months there's another major scandalous revelation. What began in Boston 10 years ago was the tip of the iceberg. We make a mistake.
See, that's what I wanted to ask you. This began in Boston, but of course it had ramifications that really went out across the country and around the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I remember well that 10 years ago, people in church authority, including locally, said, well, this is a very limited and isolated problem. We have a few bad apples. They've been badly handled. But basically, everything is fine with the church. And there was a while when it looked for a minute like that might be the way it was left. But look what happened. A wave of revelations, first sweeping from east to west across the United States. Now, major scandal on the West Coast. I mean, major American cities have all, not all of them, but many of them have had their versions of what's happened in Boston. And then that wave rolled east across Europe. Ireland has been decimated by this scandal. We see the government of Ireland. Listen, I'm an Irish Catholic. If you had told me even 10 years ago that the government of Ireland would be on the verge of breaking diplomatic relations with the Vatican over this question, I wouldn't have understood it. Italy, Austria, Germany, the Netherlands, Belgium. In Belgium, civil authorities raided the offices of church leaders over this question. This is far from over. And what have we found again and again? The church authorities say, that's it, it's finished, we've repented, we're sorry, we're going to pay the victims, that's no more problems. And then the next thing you know, there's another revelation. And the next thing you know, you learn that Cardinal Ratzinger himself was instrumental in ordering priests to report cases of abuse only within the secret forum of the church, not to civil authority. This is the 10-year anniversary of something that is only just beginning.
Well, James Carroll, thanks so much. It's a story that continues to unfold. We appreciate having you in talking to us about it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's James Carroll. He's a columnist for the Boston Globe. He's also scholar in residence at Suffolk University. He was talking about the clergy sex abuse scandal 10 years after it exploded here in Boston. Listeners, let us know what you think at radioboston.org.
Coming up, keeping your aging pet healthy, happy, healthy, and comfortable. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.